Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. Rudo, Jesse, AJ coming at you as the Avs roster is basically solidified. We'll get into it with Bleed being waived but not actually getting sent down, all of that stuff in a little bit. First, we have to do this again because there are still shitty people in hockey. So over the last couple of days, two things have come out. Now, to be perfectly clear, in Ian Cole's case, this is entirely allegations. There is nothing officially there yet. In the Bakersfield Condors case, there are felony charges going on. So in Bakersfield, there was a coach that has been charged with grooming and sexual involvement with a minor. And Ian Cole, there have been allegations out there of the same thing happening, though they aren't to the same level yet.
Aren't to the same level legally.
Legally. Sure.
The distinction, I think, is important.
It is.
In terms of where the investigations are at.
We don't want to go into degrees.
For sure.
Severity.
There is just one where someone has been charged with a felony, and there is one where that has not happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a distinction.
Yeah. It's a distinction that matters for sure. But regardless, for the umpteenth time at this point, these things are coming out in relation to hockey and the NHL, and
please stop.
But also get it out there. Get it all of it out there. Yeah, get it out.
The part where we're saying stop is not stop stop doing this. Can people in the hockey community stop doing this?
Well, and this is going to make it sound like I'm trying to deflect away from the hockey community, but I'm not. But we just started that Athlete A documentary on Netflix, which is about the U.S. gymnastics physician and all that stuff.
And have you not finished it yet?
No, I haven't finished it yet.
Dude, it's brutal.
Yeah. So Hannah's seen it all the way through, and I didn't even know it was on Netflix. It was the recommended banner there. I was like, whoa, have you seen this? She's like, yeah, months ago. It's horrific. Yeah. We should watch. You need to watch it. So, but you know what's so upsetting about all of this is, again, and this isn't me trying to distract from the hockey and what's going on with what we're talking about, but just in general, what to me is so upsetting that is coming to light more and more, and we talked about this a little bit just now before we got on the air, that this is one of the few good things I think that social media is like really helping with, is it's bringing a lot of this stuff to light. It's giving people a platform to be able to go and say, this is what happened. No. This is what is happening to me. This is what's happened to other people, you know, whatever the situation
before
is.
Before social media, it was like you tell the police.
Or you tell the organization.
Something either happens or it doesn't. Right. There were limited avenues.
Right, limited avenues.
And on social media, you can now just pop on there and tell your story.
And what's so
frustrating... To your limits.
Right. And what's so upsetting, I think, for me as someone who has been, you know, a sports person my whole life, is what we're finding is that this shit has been way too commonplace in sports because it is it's a small portion of like, you know, society where it's a weird industry and there are major power imbalances with people who interact on a daily basis.
Yeah.
At a lot of, you know, companies and stuff like that, the people with a ton of power typically don't mingle too much with, you know, kind of regular everyday people. That is not the case in pro sports. People at the highest level interact with people at the lowest level, you know, in terms of like ranking within the organizations every single day. And what is sickening and upsetting is that it's come to light more and more and more thanks to social media and independent journalists and stuff like that, that this has been a huge problem in professional and organized sports for a long time because of the uniqueness of the industry. And that to me is the part that's the most upsetting when you're seeing all this. And that's why, you know, like you guys are saying, you hope that this is a step towards this stop. Like, just this just isn't, like, we can't have this happen anymore. In terms of it continuing to happen, what you need more of is like what we saw yesterday with Ian Cole. You know, again, this is still obviously being investigated and all that, and we'll keep reiterating that. But this is someone who said, I have a story to tell, and I don't have to go talk to the Tampa Bay Lightning about it or the NHL or whatever. I can do something about it. I can say something about it. And that is the, I don't want to use the word good because there is nothing that's about this that's good, but that is the one thing where you're happy that victims and survivors and stuff like that have somewhere they can go and they'll be taken seriously.
It could be worse for sure.
Right.
Not that it makes me feel sick, man.
Yeah, it's awful.
I agree.
Ever since yesterday, it was the first thing I saw when I woke up and it was just like, bam.
Yeah.
Like, oh man. And it just, you know, Cole was a dude that was always well thought of when he was here. And every, like, Ian Cole memory that I have now feels gross.
Yeah.
And
again, like, without getting too far into the Ian Cole stuff, we will eventually once
there's enough information out there to make.
Once we feel like it's
make
the right time, like, we will absolutely tackle it. But to me, AJ, the most upsetting part is just, forget who. It's just the fact that this is possible in a community, hockey, sports, however you want to phrase it. It's just upsetting that this is something that, again.
It's not, yeah, right. It's again, not that just, this is possible, that this is a continuing thing.
Right, right.
We're addressing multiple counts of things like this now. Right. And it's like.
Yeah, yeah. Forget that it was Ian Cole. The fact that that story came out yesterday at all about any NHL player, it sucks. You want to believe that, you know, that type of stuff isn't true. It can't happen. But what we've learned more and more and more and more and more,
it can and it does.
Happen. Can't happen. It does. And that's the upsetting part. And so yeah, I hopefully as the more stuff about the Ian Cole situation comes out, whether it be confirming everything that we saw or whatever, like, we will talk about it. And it's not something that we look forward to talking about. But look, I'm a huge believer that you have to, otherwise outrage is just outrage for the sake of being outraged, right? You have to talk about it. You have to confront it. You have to do something about it.
The whole reason we're here is because no one was talking about it, right?
Right.
For decades, nobody talked about it. It got swept under the rug and it kept happening.
100%, so, dude.
You gotta at least talk about it and try and make an effort to make things less bad.
That's the shitty part, is it's so bad that I can't even come up with the words. It's just like, well, how do we make this less bad? And again, we try not to shy away from that stuff. You guys, before I even got back, did that. And because if you don't confront it, then it is just people being mad for the sake of being mad, and then stuff continues to happen. So you got to talk about it, you got to confront it.
Dude, I feel awful about it. Just from my perspective and the time that I spent around him, you know, one of the reasons why it's bothered me as much as it has is because I just feel like I propped up a predator. And like, obviously I don't know. I didn't know any of that stuff. Right. Like, but it, I don't know. For me, I feel sick for a lot of reasons today with this story. And I don't I guess I just don't understand why people do this to each other. Why people think that this shit is okay and do this. I'm so over this part of the sport. I'm in just society. Like, it's not limited to hockey.
But that's the sphere that we're closest to.
Can, exactly. Can people just stop doing this to each other?
Yeah, and I mean, again, we don't have to get too
far into
this.
I am not well equipped emotionally to talk about this on a podcast in front of people.
We can move on.
This is awful.
We can move on after this, but the one thing I will say to you, again, like we were just talking about, you can't feel bad. You can't beat yourself up. If all that stuff is accurate, what that tells you more than anything else is this dude's a manipulator and he manipulates people. And that's why you heard all kinds of great stories about him in the room and the type of guy he was. Manipulators are very good at making people think they don't suck when really they're the worst ones in the room. So for you, AJ, like, you can't beat yourself up on it, man. Manipulators manipulate people for a reason, and there's a reason they get away with it for as long as they did. But let's move on. Let's move on for today. Let's not move on from this in life, but
I would love to never have to talk about these things again.
Yeah.
Because the time we stop talking about it is the time that it's not happening anymore.
Yeah. We're not gonna shy away from the conversation, as uncomfortable as I am with this. As long as these stories keep coming out, we'll keep addressing them.
Yep. So
even if there isn't much to say other than, hey, this is bad, please stop this. You have to keep that line shit on it. Otherwise,
the alternative is, hey, let it happen.
Under the rug, you're part of enabling people to continue this.
Yep.
Right.
And we're not. No. Our corner of the world is not gonna be like that.
Yep. Agreed. So, is what it is on the Avalanche side of the world today. We did get some official cuts in Mikhail Maltsev and Wyatt Amott, which, neither of which are all that surprising.
Also cleared waivers today, so that was not something that we were too concerned about. But
I had someone yesterday saying, like, do you think they're waiving them just to have the flexibility? I was like, yes, but I do think Maltsev gets sent down. So I felt a little vindicated today. I was like, nailed it. Nailed it.
Anton Bleed going on waivers definitely felt like this is a...
He's staying up.
When the injury issues Helm at is the back. Very start of the year are done,
yep.
Bleed is probably the guy to go, and Sedlak is probably now the guy that sticks.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Because, so I've had to explain this a couple of times to people, for people that don't know how the waiver system works. You can waive a guy if he goes unclaimed. Then you have the flexibility. You can keep him on the AHL team. You can send him down. You can keep him on the NHL team. He can play in games freely. It's not the end.
It is.
If a guy gets waived and unclaimed, it's not necessarily the end. Now, it was for a guy like Nate Gennon.
Yep.
Back in the day when he got waived and sent down, that was the end for him. And I'll tell you, as pro's pro moment, he talked that day.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about it being the end of the ride and what that was like. And I will tell you that... That took some stones to stand there and answer those questions.
Yeah, no kidding.
But for purposes of today, Bleed, the Avs can keep him for the next 30 days. And then if he stays on the NHL roster, basically...
He's cleared waiver for 30 days.
For 30 days, yes. Yeah, and then,
or 10
and then,
games, is it?
Yeah, it's 30. It's 30 days or 10 games, and whichever is first. And then... After those limits have passed, then he will have to go through waivers again if he's still up on the NHL club. So they've got 30 days where they can freely promote and demote as they want.
Yep.
But with Darren Helm...
No Sedlak on waivers, at least to this point. And today is the 10th. Rosters are due today.
Yep. I actually thought they were even due last night.
Pretty good bet that Lucas Sedlak... is home free.
Yep, is on that opening night roster. Yep. Darren Helm, he's been in red, but he's been skating with the team, going through practice.
Yeah.
So that to me is Anton Bleed's replacement here in 2-3 weeks.
And this is again where they open Wednesday and then they play Thursday and then they have 3 days off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this could just easily be he plays two games and mm-hmm. then
they pick up Helm on the way to Minnesota.
Helm is good and then they're off.
And honestly, I really do, and this is really small, and maybe this is gonna be a little homerish, but like I kind of love that they did the business that way, because we've talked about it on shows where right now there's so many guys getting pushed through waivers that it's a little bit easier to, if it's a guy that you think might get claimed, if you know you wanted to have him around, if you wait a week and suddenly he's the only guy on waivers that day, might garner a little bit more attention. There were definitely some better names than Anton Bleed on that waiver wire yesterday.
And that's why I think five guys got claimed league-wide.
Yep.
Five guys.
Which is a big number. So honestly, the Avs, obviously Jared Bednar really likes Anton Bleed. Like all of our jokes and all that stuff aside, like obviously they like him. They want to have him here. I this is just, to me, another teeny tiny little, like, it's front office, it's just good bits of business after good bits of business. And this is another one where push him through with everyone else. We've got our flexibility for the next 30 days. We're not going to lose this guy.
Yep.
I just like it.
Yep. It's solid and intelligent from their side for sure that they have managed their pieces. Even going through, they got all the guys they wanted through waivers.
Yep. They didn't have the money for Nick Foligno.
Yep.
That's a basic math problem that you just failed.
Continuing through that news, then.
Like Mike Riley would have been a great fit for the Avs as a seventh defenseman, but he makes $3 million.
Right.
They don't have $3 million.
Yeah.
They've got like 1.8 or something.
Yeah, they... Well, and do they, though?
Because not really.
It really depends on... Because if you have Helm and you put him on the IR, you still have counts 900K against your cap,
then really.
And then you're getting paper cut to death because now you have Sedlak, now you have Bleed, now you have, do you hold an extra defenseman? No. I think they've gotten rid of everybody but McDermott, right?
Correct.
And so you're like, all those guys.
Adds up quick, for sure.
All of that adds up to, I'd have to relook, but I think they should be right in that.
What's
right in the $1 million range now?
Can you backdate injuries into preseason?
You can retroactively apply them, but sure. It still doesn't help you with the cap.
Well, but you can put them on LTIR.
Well, LTIR is
I know we're not
much larger commitment.
But I'm saying, how far can they backdate his injury into the off season? Because if they could backdate him 28 days, then LTIR isn't a commitment at all.
No, you can't. For LTIR, I don't believe you can do that at the start of the year.
That's what I assumed, but
there are different rules for LTIR offseason and in-season. And it's one of those things that breaks my brain every time I try and re-understand
it. There's 800 different caveats to well, in this specific scenario, but anyway. The other news, Bowers and Kaut both made it through waivers. Not that that's all that surprising, but they are.
We were curious about the Kaut passing through because it was his first time.
Yep.
We were pretty comfortable with the idea that Bowers was going to make it through.
For sure. So, Avs roster more or less set.
Can I say something about Kaut?
You can.
I will say McDonald is still on the roster.
Yep.
For the record. I thought
he's injured.
So they have money than I thought they did.
They have actually zero.
Yeah.
What about Kaut?
So just on Twitter, the day they waived him, all the people are like, see, they have no clue what they're doing, blah, blah,
they're going to lose him. And this is why we talk about the thing with waiver. And look, we were unsure with Kaut because it was his first time going through. He was a first-round pick, a relatively recent first-round pick. Yep. And, he had shown some flashes here and there, and you just never know. And there are some... Let's be real here. There are some really bad fucking NHL teams this year.
Right. And my whole thing, and again, this isn't meant to be too much of a pile on to Kaut, but this should just... The fact that he cleared waivers for the first time, 31 NHL teams and 31 scouting departments had a chance to pluck this guy for free.
Yeah.
And 31 teams said, we're good. Should tell you a little
it's
something
about... It's not as simple as that, but yes.
Right. But again,
In essence, that's what happens.
Right. He's a cheap player, semi-recent first-round pick, has shown decent in the AHL. There's something...
He's actually a pretty good AHL player.
Yeah. Both Greg Cronin and Jared Bednar, they haven't necessarily put their finger on it, but they've both said, we want him to take the next step.
Yeah.
And he's pushed his limits here. He needs to cross over that threshold to take the next step. And what him passing through, I genuinely did. I thought there was a 50-50 shot he got claimed because... He's shown well in the AHL. He's had a couple small flashes in the NHL where it's like, this could be an NHL player. To me, that says there's a whole lot of other scouting departments saying we're not seeing the step in the same way that the Avs aren't. And to me, it's just, I thought it was just a little telling that he did make it through free and clear, given that the Flyers, the Coyotes, and the Blackhawks exist.
I do think it's a little more complicated than that.
Oh, it definitely is.
But certainly he hasn't done enough to be
if it was
an obvious NHLer. Right?
Bring a guy into an organization is different than he's on your NHL team.
Right.
It's like in baseball, taking a guy in the Rule 5 draft.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He has to be on your MLB team the entire season or he gets returned to the old team.
Yeah.
And so it's like you're making a commitment here. When you claim a guy off waivers, you're making a commitment to at least give him a look and find an immediate place for him. A lot of teams don't love to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They get done with training camp.
Yep.
They've spent a month with this, with
sorting
the guys.
Sorting out their roster as is.
Figuring out the roster and like, okay, well, we're going to take a look here. We're going to
throw a wrench into that mix all of a sudden.
Yeah, and then you bring a guy in off waivers and you're like,
all right, fresh start. My point is more of just some of the mentions that I've gotten in the last 2 weeks. Like, oh, he's so clearly should be there. He should be on the roster. He's like,
look,
obviously not that clear.
I think I feel the same way, but also
we also told you all 2 weeks ago it's going to be Belied and Sedlak. Yeah, like.
But yeah, I just thought that was interesting.
So
because I really did, I thought it was a pretty serious coin flip if he was still with the Avs or not.
I want to talk about the Coyotes here.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Oh, okay,
we are brought to you by.
Oh, it's this time.
Breckenridge Brewery, the
official
beer.
I don't have a timer. Normally I have a timer somewhere.
We could, if Yaya was not slacking, we'd have a timer. But Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. Go get yourself some. Hope you enjoyed the Hootenanny. If you didn't, you can still get it at your local liquor store. You can get it down here at the bar.
If you didn't, just go to Rudo's house this weekend. It'll be a Hootenanny part two.
Will it?
Yeah, we're going to have a big party at your house.
The more you know, I guess.
He doesn't know this yet.
Do you even know my address?
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah. Do now.
Please don't say it on air.
It is.
Anyway.
It'd be like that time that Donald Trump read out Lindsey Graham's phone number at a rally. Oh my God, dude.
That was hilarious.
Anyway, go get yourself some Breck Brew.
It's a power move.
Check out the farmhouse if you want a dope venue. We're also brought to you by Game Time. You can go to the link down in the description to get your tickets to any major sporting event in the country, really. Colorado, of course, also. They have some of the best prices out there, up to 60% off at other websites. So you can download the Game Time app today. Get in on good Avs tickets. Get in on good. Someone got a Broncos ticket for like $70 last week.
Yeah.
That's insanely good price. Like, I can't even explain to you how good that is. So, yeah, go use the link in the description. Go over to Game Time. Helps us out a little bit, too, if you use the link. So be sure to do that. All right. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. We saw not any Avs get claimed, but a number of claims come in. You guys said it, 5 claims in total. One of them, quickly, the Coyotes claimed another goaltender in Connor Ingram because Jonas Johansson got hurt.
Yeah.
So that's weird.
Don't know the severity of that.
Clearly severe enough to get another goaltender.
Well, and so this is what I wanted to talk about. Because... Okay, just double checking. If you're the Coyotes, you claim Jonas Johansson on waivers like immediately, right?
Yep.
And then... You
watch a bunch of better goaltenders go
turn around
on
and watch
waivers,
a bunch of goalies go on waivers, and you wait till the very end, and Connor Ingram goes on waivers.
Who is a highly
Connor Ingram is a guy who showed really well for the Preds in the postseason, and it is really, really weird that the Preds chose Kevin Lankinen over Connor Ingram.
Yep.
Given that they've had Ingram in their own system, he played well in the postseason. Why would you have Kevin Lankinen as the guy that you prefer as your backup to UC Saros over Ingram after what he did for you in the playoffs last year? Like, am I alone here in feeling like this is just bad management from the Preds?
Leaving room for, you never know what that relationship is like behind the scenes. It sure seems like it from our view.
Well, and my other thing too is, I guess, partially just because I'm not
sure
overly familiar with Connor Ingram. So, like, I don't know.
Well, he's been a really good AHL player for most of his career. And then he had some issues for a few years there. He got suspended when he was a member of the Syracuse Crunch, when he was in the Lightning organization. And then the Lightning moved him for basically nothing to Nashville. And there was like this like black cloud. And
a lot of questions off ice again.
Yeah, there were a lot of off ice questions about the guy. And then he went into, I believe, the recovery program, the NHL substance abuse program.
I don't know if it was substance.
Yeah, abuse I don't know if it was substance abuse.
It was one of their programs. Yeah,
yeah, it was one of their. It was one of their recovery programs, and then came back and was very good last year. And has been a good AHL goaltender. He's still young, and coming off the postseason performance, Kevin Lankinen, like.
Yeah, definitely like a weird choice.
If you were going to try and pass one of those guys through waivers, Kevin Lankinen would have gone.
Was Lankinen with them last year?
No, he was in Chicago.
Okay, all right, that's what I thought. And maybe that's what it is, because didn't he kind of... I mean, like, I don't know if
necessarily... He had one good stretch 2 years ago.
And has been with Minnesota, bad right? since.
No, in Chicago, Kevin Lankinen had one good stretch in Chicago 2 years ago where he was good for, like, 2 months. And that's really been it.
Yep. He was not good last year.
Like, he was so brutally bad, one of the worst in the NHL, and did not show well. And the Preds had one of the worst backups last year in the NHL in Big Save Dave, and jettisoned him for Kevin Lankinen with Connor Ingram sitting right there. Yeah. From Arizona's perspective, Connor Ingram is a find. Like, you're already curious to see what Karel Vemelka does in year two.
Yep.
You claimed Jonas Johansson. Jonas Johansson then subsequently got hurt. I don't know how serious that is. I wish one of our PHNX guys was watching so they could just tell us.
With Ingram in the fold, I would go ahead and assume whenever he's healthy, he's going back on waivers.
And so if JoJo goes back on waivers, the Avs have first right to reclaim him because it's within those 30 days.
Yep.
If they had to wait for the next 30-day cycle for him to go clear on waivers,
yeah,
then it would be the order, the yep. regular order. But because it would be within the first 30 days or whenever it ends up being that they send him down, the Avs have the will have first opportunity to claim him, and but send him to the AHL, yeah. Which is the big wrinkle when everybody keeps asking me on Twitter, oh, AJ, are the Avs going to claim another goalie? No, because they would have to play him in the NHL.
Unless
they'd have to keep
JoJo.
Him on the NHL yeah. roster. Unless in the case of Jonas Johansson getting re-waived by Arizona, the Avs can claim him and immediately send him because the team that waived a guy and lost him has that first right of claiming in that situation within that 30-day window.
Let's just further...
Can you still hear me?
It's just lilting.
This is just y'all here blowing
I'm telling
it.
You, man. Just
leave it Twitter.
Everybody. All right. Cool.
Yeah, just do what you were doing earlier before I can mess it up.
Yeah.
It was like I tried
to make
his face. Classic,
all good.
Classic y'all here.
Yeah, so day to day, great. Day to day is the kind of thing where you can easily re-wave a guy and it's all good.
This, though, just does...
It's yeah, really
does
weird.
Shane Bowers.
It's really weird roster management from the Preds, smart management from Arizona.
Oh, I was gonna go back to the JoJo thing.
I want to talk more about this too. Okay,
I didn't understand it when they did it.
Yeah, I did not get.
Yeah,
it's like you know there's gonna be a huge flood of goalies. With no disrespect to Jonas Johansson, goalies with much better track records who've been much better in the NHL, aside from with one specific team in a small handful of games.
Yeah.
You knew that this
behind the league's best defense.
Right. You knew this influx of goaltenders coming through waivers was coming. We all thought it was weird when they claimed it to begin with, and we were like, oh, well, I guess they're kind of looking for low ceiling guys, whatever. And then they went and claimed one of the, you know,
better
more promising
options.
Backups. Yeah,
yeah
well,
trying
and
to pass through waivers.
Claiming Jonas Johansson could be as simple as, hey, we like this guy. he was available to us. We claimed him. And then if they claimed a guy that they like more, they can always just pass him back to
BF. Yeah, I guess.
And it doesn't cost them anything. There's no money. There's no asset. There's no. All it is 2 weeks of Jonas Johansson's life where he's like, well, I'm an Arizona Coyote now. And
well, and again, my other thing is just like, it was just a weird claim. Because of when it came,
yeah.
You knew that there were going to be 30 more goalies and to be waived.
We talked about it. Right. Like he was the first goalie, basically the first goalie wave, that very first wave of goalie cuts. It was such a weird claim.
Right.
It didn't make any sense. And now you're like, well, Ingram is fine.
So I did want to look at the other side of this, too.
Ingram's a great get for the Coyotes,
I think they should be pumped about that.
Yeah.
From the Avs side,
between Vomelka and Ingram, like, that's a
I guess I'm not as sold on Ingram as everyone else, but it's fine.
Well, it's like, we'll see how it goes.
Look, they're
but
still,
he's earned that
they're
look.
They're still turbo tanking this year. Yeah. Like, it's not like it matters.
But it's like, this could be a guy that actually is part of when they're on the rise again here in 2 years, when they actually want to start winning
Bedard,
games.
Bedard, Matthews...
Logan Cooley.
Yeah, Logan Cooley. Yeah. All those guys.
On JoJo, very quickly.
Connor Geeky.
Yep.
You're the Avs. You're expecting him to come back on waivers. Is it even the right move to claim him back?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
You think?
Yeah.
Why?
So you don't have to have Trent Miner is second in line if there's an injury.
Yeah, because you re-signed him.
Yeah, but you have the option to not.
You re-signed him for a reason. You liked him. You wanted him to be part of the Eagles.
I get the Avs will do it. I understand they're going to do it.
Yeah. No, I'm all about it.
Yeah, but we're telling you why. You asked why. We're telling you. You're like, no, I hear that, but why?
I want to know why you guys would do it, not why the Avs would do
it. For all the same reasons. Yeah, okay.
You're on board.
I
don't mind Jonas Johansson as a third goaltender.
I don't mind JoJo either. I'm just curious if you would have preferred to see Annan step into that role a little bit more effectively.
Well, he might anyway.
I was going to say,
there's nothing that says he's not.
Right. I was going to say, and your worst case is, cool, you have Annan now with the NHL club, so you have someone who's in a surefire AHL-level goalie. You're still trying to win games at the AHL level. Like, that's the other thing that people forget sometimes. Like, that's also a hockey team that wants to win games and, like, has a coaching staff and a GM and all that shit. And I don't know. I would do it. He's a known quantity. You know him. You like him. And for me, this is a big, big year for Juuse Saarinen. I want reps. I want reps out of Juuse Saarinen. I want a lot of minutes. I want a lot of games. And if there's injuries, I just don't want him chilling with the ass.
No fear that JoJo's going to get in his way?
No.
Okay.
No, because...
I mean, I think he'll start, but I think it'll be like Miska last year.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. JoJo will be the tandem/backup guy.
Yeah.
And in the starter.
Yeah.
More or less.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Just wanted to feel that one out a little bit for you. We are brought to you by the American Raptors. You can go catch some rugby down at Infinity Park in Glendale. Tickets completely free when you go to AmericanRaptors.com. So go have a great night out at Infinity Park. Super awesome place. You got to check it out. They're a rugby team that have taken players from like all the other major sports at the highest levels, some ex-NFLers even. So they're very talented athletes that are moving into the rugby scene. They were 5-5 last year. So they're looking to get even better as it is, considering they went 5-5 with a bunch of dudes who'd never played professional rugby before. Kind of crazy. Infinity Park, also the home of the men's and women's 15 teams. Well, sure, but that's for other reasons. It's the best rugby in the country with the men and women's 15 team. So you got to get down there, check it out. You can check out Colton Strickler, our DNVR rugby guy. Go follow them on Twitter. He's got 101 pods if you're new. He's got interviews with everyone and their mothers if you're around the scene.
Damn, he's got interviews with their moms too.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Dog. That guy, the dirty dog.
We're also brought to you by Avaca. You can go to avaca.tv/DNVR today to get it. Again, that's evoca.tv/DNVR. Little birdie told me the Serbia trailer's dropping tonight. So
The
documentary trailer dropping tonight. That's going to be exclusive to Avaca at first. So you're going to want to get to Avaca to watch that. Also, they just have a DNVR channel. You can watch us.
Yeah,
on Avaca.
You know who doesn't have a DNVR channel?
Who?
Fubo
doesn't have a DNVR channel. That's true. They don't have that. Can confirm.
Anyone that's asked me, what do you think about the Fubo thing? I'm like, just do a vodka. Just do a vodka instead. Way cheaper.
It's way cheaper.
Like a third the cost.
Well, and it's like, I know that there are some like attachments or whatever that you need as well. The Avoca thing is not quite as straight up, but
it's actually it's more straight up, I would say.
I'll say, yeah, you get the box, you plug it in, you don't have to download the app.
It's like normal cable.
Yeah. Yaya's got it. And Yaya makes a lot of bad choices, but that's a great one.
What?
Don't do a lot of the things that Yaya does.
What are you talking about? He makes a lot of bad, I mean, outside of El Tri, but he was born into that. I
mean, my bad choice was just deciding to
That's right. Yeah, I can't imagine what other bad choices you'd be talking about.
Again, I didn't bring me in. That was a bad choice on Yaya's part.
Oh, it was Yaya that brought you in, huh?
Hey, let's just move on. The details of this story aren't important.
Moving.
You're looking forward to a Finland documentary? Guys, are we making a documentary and I don't know it?
AJ, I can't get into this.
Have an actual meltdown on the show.
Like, do you want to watch three people just slowly
melt, lose their minds,
transform into little rage monsters?
Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Let's solidify this a little bit. I think we kind of already touched on it, but are we expecting the opening night lineup? Lucas Sedlak in for sure?
I'm saying yes. I'm saying he plays.
Yeah, I agree.
We're expecting Myers in for sure.
Yeah.
I'm expecting, my guess is that your centers on opening night are Nathan MacKinnon, Alex Newhook, Ben Myers, Lucas Sedlak.
I'm with AJ. You got three spots you're filling on opening night. I think the three that are left I think they're all in the lineup.
All right. So there you go. You get the full cavalcade of a bottom line of Sedlak, Bleed, and what will be Cogliano most likely. Could be O'Connor, depending on how they shake it out, whatever. But
yeah. I think it'll be O'Connor. The fact that they sent Maltsev down to me says that Compher will be ready. Because it's there was one spot left open on the roster. If it's fully healthy coming into this season, there was one spot open. No Gabe Landeskog for the foreseeable future. Darren Helm likely not ready by opening night. So there's three spots. So to me, that's Myers, Bleed, Sedlak. Had Compher not been able to go,
so
it would have been Maltsev.
Are you sure that math is right?
That's the math that Jared gave us last week. He said there was one up for grabs and then two injuries. JT's been skating in red. That's why I think Maltsev hung around an extra day. But when he was reassigned this morning, to me, that says JT's good to go.
So who else is injured, though?
Helm and Landy. And
so that's two spots,
though. And then there was just one.
And there was
left
the one open one.
Yep, because of players they lost. Yeah, and that was when we penciled Ben Myers in at the end of last year.
Okay, so we're looking at an opening night lineup where you have, let's just run through it to be thorough here.
Hold on. I've got it. Because they had the lines broken out yesterday.
Perfect. I can actually give you a top six instead of...
Yeah, I was going to say...
The top six guys and some...
So...
It's probably just a tweet.
Yeah, it's just a tweet. So yesterday, it was Rantanen, MacKinnon, Lehkonen, Nichushkin, Newhook, Rodriguez, O'Connor, Myers, Cogliano, Bleed, Compher in red, and Sedlak.
So they could run Compher on the fourth line, too, if he's 80% or whatever.
Right. So there's your 12. Now, obviously, if for some reason Darren Helm defies what they've been saying this whole time and can go,
it's probably Bleed.
Then it's probably Bleed. And
sitting,
sitting out. And then if he is fully good to go, they just send him down. But again, the fact that they sent Maltsev down to me says Compher is going to be good.
Yep.
And
because right now they're 14-8-2. I know that this is right. I just looked at it.
Mm-hmm.
Counting McDermott as a D. They're 14-8-2.
Wait, who's the extra two? Oh, you're counting the injured guys.
Yes. I mean, total.
Yes. I'm sorry. Yep. Yeah.
Yep. So.
So, Landy goes on IR.
Yep.
And then Compher and Helm probably don't.
You know.
I would say Compher probably goes.
Do you think?
On IR?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It could be.
I thought you meant
Do you think they consider putting Landy on LTIR?
Not unless they absolutely have to. Because you do not want.
Right. You want to be as close to the cap as possible.
You do not want, because that is a commitment for 24 days that you will not be accruing cap space.
Yep.
And I think with the Hellman Confer injuries are temporary enough that they can get that down to 12 with Landy as the 13th guy on IR.
Yeah.
And that will give them an opportunity to accrue cap space as you get closer there. So I think if it can be avoided,
they will.
They will. If they absolutely have to, like if one more guy gets hurt,
they might then have to,
LTIR might just be a thing that they have to lean into, which sucks.
Quick side note, going back to Jonas Johansson, Craig Morgan did just text me back. It's day to day.
Yep.
Cool. Easy peasy.
Yeah. So
expect to see him in an Eagles jersey. Barely soon.
Coming to the Colorado Eagles team near you. Yep. Yeah, but so look,
I mean,
be
weird if they didn't waive him, right? And they rolled with
just had three goals
and Pomelka and Ingram, and we're just like, ooh, we'll just figure it out.
See what happens. Yeah, that would be weird.
That would be weird to the point of detriment.
By the way, the Yaya hate is just me fucking with Yaya. Yeah. I was gonna say it's not the general Yaya hate, it's just me giving Yaya a hard time.
When did I become the nice one to Yaya? What happened?
Yeah.
What happened the last year?
Yeah, let's No, I'm just kidding.
Blaze is the one that really goes hard on Yaya. Yeah.
Honestly, Blaze is the one that it's hardest for me to get along with. Like, not the bad way, like he's the one that gives me the most shit out of everybody.
This is going to turn to Yaya telling everyone what he really feels about people that work
these
here.
These guys suck.
Actually, you know what?
Suck. They got me into hockey, and now I'm just stuck with them.
No, I just hate them.
I kind of hate this now.
Yeah, it is what it is. You're stuck.
They let me cover the Rapids all season, and now I have to actually go back and do this.
At least I get to be a part of a winning team. That's all I care about.
Right, that's right.
I do feel like the one thing about Avs coverage is that it's like they're gonna win a lot of games this year.
Yeah,
yep. It literally gave me a nice little break, felt to be like a loser again, and then I'm just like, yep, I got the Avs right behind me. It's all good.
And then you have the World Cup coming up, so again. you'll have fresh heartbreak on the way.
It gave me it gave me energy for the Avs season again.
It does. What can we see the Avs win a lot of games, 3-1, 4-1. There's a 3-month stretch last year where it's I have to clip 13 goals for every video.
How many 7-goal games did they have?
It was
I think they finished with 9.
Yeah. I was going to say, I thought it was 8 or 9.
It was more than a dozen, 6+.
World Cup as a USA fan isn't going to be rough. It's going to be brief.
As a U.S. hater, U.S. national team hater, I love the U.S., love you all.
As a U.S. hater.
Yeah.
You're from Mexico. You can't say that out loud.
I'm just going to say, I think the U.S. has a chance to either flame out in the group stage, or they will go to the semifinals.
You think?
There's no in between for them.
Pepe hasn't converted you?
Dude, I'm a big Pepe fan, especially just because of his name. But this team is so high variance because it's a lot of young kids that it can be one or it's one or the other.
I just made this exact argument on the PHNX show for Minnesota. There's so much variance in how I see them between if the young guys hit, they could be the second to Central. If wheels kind of fall off.
That's why they're my dark horse.
they could miss the playoffs. So USA men's soccer, Minnesota Wild, same, but whoa, Jesus, oh my God. Same, but different in my head. You guys hear that?
It's all right. We all stutter sometimes.
I had a stutter growing up, and really? Every now and then it'll catch it. I'm usually the abs. My dad used to come hit me in the back of the head when I'd get stuck on a word. Playfully.
Some casual child abuse stories. You know?
My dad used to just beat the hell out of me.
I feel if it's not
spit it out.
I feel like you could get away with it where it just seems like you couldn't think of the next word.
That's how I play it off. But in my head, I'm like...
Barely got out of that loop.
Again. Yeah. Got stuck on repeat there for a minute. And it is when you get stuck in that, you're like, I know the next word. I want the next word, but the just keeps coming out. And I just have to stop. Yeah, you play it off.
Yep.
The Family Guy character who can't read, and he's fakes his way through it. And every time he's like, you're playing a dangerous game. Anytime he fakes his way out of it, that's me.
As long as it works, it works.
Yeah.
Anyway, Yeah. I don't think there's really a ton more to go over as far as the ads are concerned.
I can't believe
this
has already been 45 minutes. Yeah, I just looked at the clock. By. I was like,
You guys excited for the World Cup?
Of hockey? Yes. We're doing US watch-alongs,
by the way, for all that. I probably won't be here, which sucks, man.
Oh, man, I'm super busy all those days, I bet. Oh,
anything but soccer.
Oh, really?
That's so cool.
I do love Black Friday.
I will be doing anything but that on Black Friday.
Yeah. Ooh, do you want to go shopping at the malls instead? Yeah,
get me
I'm down.
Dude, I listened to, so my last drive up to Winnipeg, I listened to a podcast about the designing of malls. It was fascinating the way that they started out and the way that they evolved into this thing that was like, trap the people.
I'm not being a dick when I say this. I'm sure that is super interesting.
It was. It was an interesting podcast where now... We listened to it, and I kept telling Z, I was like, I've got to go back to the mall. I want to get, I need to feel exploited by the man again. I need
Hannah and I, for years, we made it just like kind of our little Thanksgiving night. Like, we would go to the mall, like, as part of like the Black Friday hype. Yeah. We wouldn't be there, like, when the doors open, but like, there is something a little, there's like a weird psychology in there.
I
like,
love
around,
being part of that rush.
I do too. Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but I kind of like, it's like that scene in Mean Girls where they're all at the mall.
Yeah.
They're all like
the watering hole.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. That's two Mean Girls references in one calendar week, folks. That's on the DNVR Avalanche podcast.
I tell you, because October 3rd is 7 days ago, in 1 week. So.
Oh, then that's three because I made the. Oh, I guess that was for the player preview.
Yeah, that was
the
player preview.
Still counts. That still counts. All right. But no, like, yeah, there is something.
Yo, it was Polo Park. I like Polo Park.
There is something that I have always kind of found fun about, like, that first, like, shopping. It's just like holidays and like everyone's out. And
well, and back
crazy.
In the day, there actually used to be like a deal that you could actually like wander in and be like, oh, hey, I wanted this thing.
Like, Best Buy used to, if you went to Best Buy on Black Friday, like, you could actually score some, like,
getting
crazy
stuff for, like,
deals.
Yeah. Free.
You know, the great thing about Best Buy Black Friday deals is that their prices were just lowered to the rest of the market's prices. And so you felt like you were no longer getting.
Yeah.
Taken advantage of. Yeah.
The TV that we had, that Hannah actually just put in her craft room at our new house, because it's kind of like, it's a 50-inch LG that I got for, like, $160 on Black Friday at Best Buy several years ago, and it's like that was a great deal. Yep. And they don't make the deals now, like they used to anymore.
So they have those deals now, but it's like you're waiting in line, and then they come out before they open the doors. They're like, all right, we have three vouchers for this good deal, and that's it,
dude. I remember
they come out 2 days before Black Friday. It's like, fuck.
I remember standing in line at 6 a.m. outside of a Kmart.
Hell yeah.
To get a Nintendo GameCube when that system launched.
It's a very old-fashioned sentence.
And yeah.
Everything about that.
And the dude comes outside, and he goes, we've got 8 units. All right?
What number? Oh, is that?
And he starts handing them out, and he's like, are you guys together? Like, how many systems are you guys buying? Like, because, you know, like my dad was there, but my one of my friends had also come with. Mm-hmm. And so it was like we were 6 and 7.
Nice.
And then, yeah. And so we got in and they let us in, and it was like it was so weird because they let only the 8 of us, like the 8 people.
Go, were the chosen ones.
Yeah. And so there's like, because there were a couple of us with parents because we were kids, you know, so it was like 13 people.
Yeah.
It was like the anti-Black Friday. Like, they let 13 people into the store, walked them to the section
with the GameCube,
opened it up, pulled all the GameCubes out. And I was like, why did you put them in?
Right. Why did you do this to begin
why
with?
Why did you put them in here if you knew that they were going to sell already? And so we like we got our GameCubes and we bought our games. NHL Sweet. Hits, yo.
Fucking
launch
right,
day
dude.
Title
Scott,
for the Nintendo
Scott
GameCube.
Scott Stevens on the cover.
Yeah.
Is Chris Pronger on the next one, right?
Yep.
So
and then I don't remember Pro.
I never played Pro.
Oh, it was bad.
My like gaming system midnight release story is the PS2. And I remember my mom took me to Walmart.
Nice.
Because, like, the GameStops, Circuit City, Best Buy, all that shit, the lines were around the building.
Yeah.
We went to Walmart. It was me, my mom, and, like, these 4 other dudes. And at midnight, the guy was even like, is this it? Like, is the line? And they were like, we were like, it's us. And same thing, he walks by there, and they still had him, like, on the dolly, like, on the pallet. I'm like, see, this is how you do it.
Yeah, straight up.
And, yeah, he took his bag. He was like, okay, there you guys go. And, like, so in my head, I've always been like, go to Walmart for the midnight release. Nobody goes. Nobody shows up to Walmart ever since the PS2.
Strangest find that I had in one of those situations was getting an Xbox at a Toys R Us.
Dude, I bought all of my N64 games from Toys R Us.
When the city of Houston was like sold out of Xboxes, my friend had punched his playing Halo 2 and broke it. And we spent all day driving around the city of Houston. You guys may not know this. Houston's really fucking big.
Big city.
And we found one at a Toys R Us, of all places, and got him a replacement Xbox.
Dude, I did all of my N64 video game shopping at Toys R Us. The one that is now a total wine near Park Meadows. And Hannah and I were in there a few weeks ago because we live in that area. And I said, Toys R Us grew up with us. I'm back in this same place now, but we're buying liquor. And I bought Mario Kart right over there.
What's the last thing that you guys stood in line on a midnight line for? Was it a movie or a game release? Or
mine's lame. It was an iPhone.
That fits.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. I didn't feel good about saying that, but it is what it is.
Actually stood in line at midnight, because I do it all the time for like game releases, but that's just at home.
Yeah, I went to a store and like stood in line, because I know what mine is.
To be fair, the iPhone was like
really dumb.
Was like the 8, and I haven't done it since, because now, you just pre-order online. But like that was the last thing I went in like.
I stood in line at Best Buy to buy a bunch of external hard drives, because they were like 6 terabyte hard drives on sale for like $20.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I wish you wouldn't have said $20, because I was all ready to make fun of you for that, for being like such a nerd, but you said $20. It's like, well,
solid states or just regular?
Just regular. Discs. Just regular. Blech. This was before like solid state externals were like.
See, I feel like
I guess that's fair.
The standing in line at midnight isn't. It's like, what were you standing in line for that determined?
Mine was Diablo 3.
All right. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Like the last one that I really remember.
D4 is coming out, so it's been a thing on my mind. D4 is coming out in like the next like year or whatever. But like, it's a thing that's just kind of been on my mind of like how much I miss that. Mm-hmm. That camaraderie of like showing up and standing in that big ass line with people where you're like, this is a thing that I care a lot about, and they care a lot about it, and they're there for the same reason.
Yeah.
The funny thing with the Diablo one was that it was the release day of like Max Payne 3 or something. And so when they were like, when GameStop opened and the guy was like, which ones of you guys are here for Diablo? And we were all like,
yeah.
And then he was like, which ones of you guys here for Max Payne? And this guy goes, Max Payne! And it was so funny, man.
See, the ones that I really remember are like the consoles. Yeah, PS2, PS3, like the big ones like that. But to your point, like even the iPhone one, like I remember like me and my buddy did it. And we were like, God, we feel like such losers for doing this. But like you said, you get there and it's like everyone else is there. People have chairs and all that stuff. It's like, all right, yeah.
Like people are like hyped up about it, right, man. Like it's a thing that you get excited for. Like it's not unlike an opening night where they're going to raise banners, where you're like, dude, you get to do this once.
Yeah.
It's
now,
like the Avalanche playoffs and everybody stood in line around the DNVR bar.
Yeah. Right. That was
pretty sick, too. People showing up at like 1 o'clock.
There's two that I regret not doing, going and waiting, and they're both food related. It was Chick-fil-A and then the Canes that opened at Highlands Ranch. Both of them, if you were the first, like,
no regrets on that.
Well, listen to the end of this. Mm-hmm. If you were one of the first 50 people, free for a year.
For a year?
For a year at both places. If you were one of the first,
I still don't regret it.
First 50 patrons in.
That's sick.
Free Chick-fil-A and free Canes for 1 year.
That's one where you should try and paperclip your way through that. Like,
right.
Like, just keep trading up till you get into the first 50.
Right. Because, like, I don't know.
Or you just fight all those people.
Yes. One gunshot to clear out that line real quick.
Yeah, not right. At anybody. Yeah. Just
it's a blank. It's fine.
But just that's one
in
of those.
The air. God, this is the most American thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. Those were each ones that. And I had a buddy, actually, who kind of like a. We went to high school together and we stayed in very loose contact. He hit the Chick-fil-A one. He got free Chick-fil-A for a year.
Sick. How often did he redeem it?
I think he used all the because you get like
however many
365 free combos, like that's your coupon, and I think he used up all of them.
Yeah, right. I couldn't. By the 100th combo, I'd be like, I can never eat this again.
But see, that's the thing. Like, I love Chick-fil-A. Right.
Yeah, I love free things.
Yeah,
that's where you
see,
get
those
me.
Are the ones where she's like, yeah, you wait in line once, and it's a gift that keeps on giving for 1 year.
Yeah, I signed up for a bunch of newspaper subscriptions for people I didn't like on a Black Friday once.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just to have them sent a Sunday paper, and they have no idea where it came from. And I remember one of those people was Facebook friends with me and hit me up at the end of that year and was like, why the fuck did you subscribe to the Houston Chronicle for me? Because they had like called and were like, why is this showing up? And they were like, oh, there's a subscription registered to. And like, I was an idiot, so I used my real name.
Yeah, it happens. But like I said, so if there's a Chick-fil-A opening in this area, AJ and I will go do it for the content, and Rudo doesn't get any free
coffee. You know what's opening at like the start Chick-fil-A. Of... Start of 2024 that I will be going out of my way to go to the opening of Buc-ee's.
Yeah, oh, that's Buc-ee's. Right. That's right. That's right. Yep.
Up in Loveland.
I'll go with
See
you.
See you guys there. I will. Now that is a line I will fight my way
through. Do you like
through.
Whataburger?
No.
Okay. Because no. There's one in Colorado Springs and it annoys me that everything starts in Colorado Springs. Everything that new places like, or not new, but like, you know, that they'll trial a new restaurant here always starts in the Springs. It's like, why? Well, nobody's there.
All right,
yeah,
we can get out of here for the day. We've clearly gone
off
the rails.
This last part.
Yeah. I mean, we had one show that one time where we spent 30 minutes whining about people that frustrated us.
Yeah,
and Megan, remember Megan didn't have an answer. She was like, "Oh, I've got to think of some."
I'm here for it, but Cygnus, also,
not liking In-N-Out does not make you unique. That's not an original thought.
Fairly common.
Yeah. Can Megan stop being so wholesome all the time?
I don't.
It's either like entirely wholesome or grasshopper genocide.
She's the U.S. men's soccer team. It's all or nothing.
On that note.
Oh, wait, hold on. Megan realized something she didn't like in the comments. Are you in this office still, Megan?
No way. She's gone.
Megan.
Nope. She go.
Okay.
She can tell us live.
Automated menus when you call customer service lines. Yeah. Yep. You know what? Speaking of the QR code menus. I hate that's stuck around. Bring me a menu.
No, I think that's fine. I don't mind QR code menus.
Well, the QR codes are like they're all messed up. Sometimes they don't work. They don't load. They don't take you to the right page.
This has to open in your browser. Okay, right. Open browser. Broken link.
Fix your shitty app then. That's
broken link. Me? Well, see, this is my thing. If it doesn't work, don't do it. Put it on the table when it works. If I scan it and it pulls the PDF menu up right away, I'm all about it. If I got to go to your website and then I got to find what I'm looking for.
Yeah, the easiest one that I ever had was when I went to Blue Pan Pizza.
Yes. Yep. Theirs
and
is good.
We sat down and I opened up their QR and it just popped right up. And I was like, this feels like how this should always
right,
go.
Right.
Thank you for the $2, Spin King. Much appreciated.
The Springs is the best.
I don't know if I agree with that statement.
No.
But
it's better than Pueblo. It's not a high bar to clean.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah, Pueblo is definitely the rung below. And yeah, I don't like when couples sit on the same side of the booth. Fight me over it.
Okay.
I hate it.
I like sitting next to Z.
Actually, confirmed, Russell Wilson and Sierra are same side of the booth people.
Okay.
Which makes complete sense given how this first month and a half has gone.
I don't know. You know, with Z, I actually don't know that I have a preference on opposite or same. I know when we hold hands, we always like fight over it, and I can't remember.
Yeah. Are you,
I can't remember like which how it always ends up.
I'm the overhander.
I always end up defaulting because I want it one way, and then she all like it lasts for like 4 seconds, and then she's like, "Nope, it's got to be this way." And
then it looked like you're dragging her. Yeah, I was gonna say her in the car.
That looks like a potential kidnapping.
Yeah.
I definitely don't want to do that.
If you're trying to end this podcast. Press
why?
One.
Why? We're having a good time.
If you're
time.
Trying.